with me, if you would, this morning, and open up to Luke chapter 1. We are in the process of really working through and understanding and, Lord willing, being challenged by this concept of ultimate faith, living faith, breathing faith. I shared last week that I think so often people, believers, come to Christ, and I think they have a pretty good understanding at the moment of their salvation what saving faith is. But what's growing faith? What's faith in the midst of difficulties and circumstances? And one of the lies that Satan throws our way is that we're always the worst, and other people are doing it better. And yet to have that faith that trusts the process of God. And whether you're Abraham or whether you're Noah or whether you're Joseph, if you look at those three men, what you're going to find is that each one of them saw something than what was real, what was right before their eyes. Noah saw a boat that would flow in a flood without knowing what a boat was and without knowing what a flood was. Abraham, the Bible says, God is able. Even if I have to kill my child, God is able to out of the ashes restore life. He said to the two men, he said, we're going to go and we're going to worship, and then the boy and I are coming back to you. Joseph in the pit and in Potiphar's house and in the prison lived in those three less than desirable places with this in mind. You meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. And oftentimes, we have this faulty thought process that says, I am the only one stricken by God. I am the only one that God has abandoned. I am the only God in this mess right now. God doesn't want you to believe that. The Satan does. Today we're going to look at the person of Mary. And we're not going to look at it from, dare I say, the traditional sense of Mary. We're going to sing a song about her at the end of this service that speaks of great things about Mary. Did you know that your son's going to call the Lord? Did you know he's going to heal the light? He's going to cause the blind to see and the dumb to speak? Did you know? Did you know? Those all are the great things that come. Did you know he was going to walk on water? Mary, did you know he's going to save the world, that he's going to rise on the third day? Mary, did you know that your son's going to go back to heaven and he's going to prepare a place for you and others who trust in him, and he's going to sit at the right hand? Mary, did you know all that with the angel came? And let me tell you something, my friends, if you think that she knew all that, you're greatly mistaken. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you grasp with perfection the emotional pain and the social suffering you're going to have to endure? Did you know what friends would shun you? Talk about who behind your back. Did you know what your family would think or how your patrol would respond? No one is quite sure of the answer. But we do know when we live with ultimate faith, what does matter is that we trust God with the outcome, just like Mary did. I want to share with you a part of Mary that comes from a historical perspective and a contextual perspective from Nazareth and from the Jewish life of Nazareth. Look with me, if you would, in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, down in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary's immediate response was to be greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, let me tell you why this reads in the Greek. Well, what in the world is this? Okay? But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid." Let's put this in a historical context, if we could. This is the second time in 400 years God spoke. This is the second time in 400 years that God sent a messenger and told the person what is going to happen and what's about to go on. For 400 years, God had remained silent. His lips were sealed. Now, he was working behind the scenes. History tells us that. There couldn't have been a better time in the history of mankind for Jesus Christ to come into this world, according to the book of Galatians. At just the right time, God sends the angel and tells Mary this. Now, if you haven't heard from somebody for a long time, then you may say something like this. "Oh, now you want to be my friend? Oh, what do you want? Here's an oldie but a goodie. It's good to hear from you. I thought you were dead." Let's put that in the spiritual condition of Israel at this moment. He comes to Mary and he says, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." Well, I'm not a Catholic. I'll never be a Catholic. And I understand what the Catholics teach, but let me tell you something. There was nothing special about Mary other than God trusted Jesus. And there's nothing special about you other than God chooses to use you in your own life. Mary is simply put a servant of the Lord. We don't pray to her. We don't build statues in her name. We don't do that. Because Mary had to do the same thing that you and I have to do when it comes to Jesus. She had to put her faith and her trust in the Lord Jesus and her son. And if she didn't do that, she's not Adam. But if she did, just like every one of us here today who trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have a place in eternity with Him. But she is highly favored in the sense that God chose her to have her and His Son live in her womb. Now that's pretty cool. She is the only one that can say, "I was a virgin when I conceived." That's medically impossible. But she wasn't a perpetual virgin like we talked about in Sunday school. Mary, her Joseph, was her husband. And he was a great husband. And I will tell you that after Jesus was born, he wanted to be her husband. And he was. 400 years, this is what you show up and this is what you tell me? Are you kidding me? You want me? We haven't had a kid in 100 years, and you want me now, after we finally have a kid, to go and sacrifice this kid? Well, what did Abraham do the next day? Remember? He arose and went. What did Noah do? He started building the ark. Started sharpening his tools and honing his skills. Started finding pitch. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. He says, you will be with child and you'll give birth to a son and you'll give to him the name of Jesus or Yeshua. That is Jesus' name. That is what they knew Jesus by is Yeshua. Similar name, Joshua, in the Old Testament. Same concept. His name is Jesus. We know it. That's what his friends called him. That's what his teachers called him. That's what his parents called him. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Now, let me tell you this. At this moment in her life, I think her heart's going 100 miles a minute. Man, this is awesome. Every Jewish woman, her dream was to be the mother of the Messiah. Remember, the Messiah was promised in the Old Testament over and over and over and over. And for 400 years, some of the faithful ones, we know Simeon was one, we know Anna was one, but some of the faithful ones kept looking out for the hope of Israel. Jewish individuals, is this the Messiah? And can I be the mother of the Messiah? And yet Mary is, and now she knows what he's going to be like. And so at this moment, she's thrilled. But then she remembers something. How will this be? Here's the Greek. Some of you older people can appreciate this if you know the TV show Different Strokes. What you're talking about, Willis? How can this be? There's one problem with this. I'm a virgin. Well, let me tell you what the word virgin means in the Greek. Virgin. There are some that equate the Isaiah passage with this passage, and they say, she was a young girl. You're right, she was a young girl. Very young. Israel, the dusk of her day, girls at 12 to bed, boys at 13. Do we know her age? No. But we know that she was young. And we know that she was a virgin. And three different times in Luke chapter 1, the angel refers to it, and she refers to it. And she says, I've got a real issue here. I am old enough to know how babies are made, and I also know I haven't made any. How does this happen? Now there's stuff that goes on in our culture. And the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he gives her a sign. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who is said to be barren, is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. There are many that believe that this moment is when the conception took place. But then the angel left off. Mary, did you know? Did you know the emotional pain? Did you know the social suffering that you're going to endure? Ultimate faith can place us in situations that are less than ideal. Let's understand that about ultimate faith today. It is quite possible to have complete and perfect faith in the Lord and just live for Him. But I can tell you this, that there are times in every person's life where we're going to find ourselves in situations that are less than ideal. You say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Have we just talked about Joseph? He's talking about Joseph. Remember about that kid that got thrown in the pit, that got put in Potiphar's house and sold into slavery, and that, by the way, he was doing what he was supposed to do in honoring God with his life, and then all of a sudden, because he put faith in God and not faith in everything else, he decided to run away from a sexual situation, and oh, by the way, he was paid back by being thrown into the prison. And oh, by the way, he was in prison, and he was just doing what he was supposed to do, and God was with him, and everything was great in prison. I mean, I don't know. That sounds like an oxymoron. Everything's great in prison. I mean, I don't get that, right? And then he gets forgotten. And he's there now for multiple years. He's been forgotten for two at least. That's an ideal situation. I think of missionaries that we know. Some of them are serving in less than ideal situations. But they don't. Why? Because God's called them there. And they wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world. Wendy and I have had the opportunity to travel around the Western Hemisphere in both in South America and over here. And I don't think it went the worst place to go in July with a group of 15 kids from your church is to Santiago, Chile. It is cold
in July
in Santiago, Chile. I'm not talking about Parker cold. I'm talking about 40 degrees with 100% humidity, and you're freezing because they don't have heat down there. That's less than ideal. But you go. Why? Because God tells you to go. You go to places, you do things. I remember taking a group of young people from here to an Indian reservation. It was less than ideal. We slept in tents. I still, to this day, went through the greatest thunder and lightning show, and I wish Brandon was here because he was with us. I'm telling you what, you want to get kids close to God, put them in tents with metal stakes and have thunder and lightning crash over their heads all night. Every single one of those kids got saved 43 times. I'm sitting there and I'm going and I'm looking at him. They got the girl standing and the guy standing, and I'm looking at my wife, and I'm not getting out because it's one of those storms that put about 5 inches of rain on that. I got a concussion walking through it. And I'm sitting there going, what in the world? All my friends have office jobs, and I'm out here in a van in the middle of South Dakota in Venice. But I was there because that's what God wants to do. God purposely asks Mary to bear His Son. And when she agrees, she's got submission. They're not so much her issue, but they're everybody else's issue. As what is about to happen becomes known by the fellow man. God immediately sends her to Elizabeth. Elizabeth does not judge her. One of the reasons why she doesn't judge her is because when Mary comes, something happens in Elizabeth's soul. And John the Baptist begins to leave. And I believe that's a sign to Elizabeth that says it's okay. Ultimate faith that God always loses. Ultimate faith also often asks us to do the unthinkable. No, don't go on. Abraham, sacrifice your son. Mary, bear Dennis. So, when we come to this verse in verse 38, it carries with it. It is not about when she says, I am the Lord's servant. And then she says this, may it be, this is the ultimate thing that she displays, may it be as you have said. To me, it's similar. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I'm going to go, we're going to worship, the boy and I, and then we're coming back. I'm going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to be what God told me to be. And I want you to understand that when we are God's servant, and that word servant there is the lowest servant that there was in the Roman Empire. It literally meant someone who was bound to do whatever their master wanted them to do. The problem is, we don't use words like this in America. Because we're too busy trying to be our own sovereign rather than to serve the sovereign of the universe. And so, we go before the Lord and we make demands. Okay, Lord, if you're calling me here, and you roll out your Christmas list. This is what I want. That's not what Mary did. She simply said, your will be done. Does anybody else remember in Scripture who else said, thy will be done? It was her son Jesus. I wonder if he learned that a little bit from home. This service, this bond servant, is not a cringing slavery, but rather it is a confident submission. Lord, here is my life. Or here I am. Mary. Lord, okay. Okay. God, I don't understand it. I don't know how I'm going to conceive. Well, you're going to conceive through the Holy Spirit. He's going to come upon you. Okay, that doesn't make sense to me, God. I know other girls, they wouldn't get pregnant that way. I got something better for you. Just remember, the reason why she couldn't get pregnant the old-fashioned way is because men are sinners. And they would pass their sin DNA onto their family, onto their children. That doesn't mean your women folk are perfect. So let's not go home and say that, wives, okay? By the way, did she get some flowers from last week? The city house is down there first. I mean, seriously, okay? But here's it. Oh, by the way, it's Jeannie's birthday. Did she get flowers today? Jeannie, would you rather have candy or flowers? Okay. Well, happy birthday, Jeannie. Men are sinners, and Joseph carried the sin nature, and it is through the father that sin nature is inherited to the children. And so there could not have been an earthly father, and so Jesus could not have been conceived by a man. He had to be conceived by a holy God, because it is only holiness that can take away the sin of the world. And that's what makes him an amazing, wonderful, crazy Savior that wants to do that for us. And go through this. And here's Mary. Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. I'm not sure I understand how it's going to happen. But Lord, may it be. I am here. I am your servant. I haven't heard you for 400 years. But if this is how you're going to bring your Messiah into the world, if this is how you're going to save the world, then here I am. Use me. I think sometimes many of us lack in the area of ultimate faith is because we're too busy telling God how He can use us. Instead of asking the question, God, how do you want to use me? And when God reveals how He wants that, and sometimes we either hesitate or we just give up. ultimate faith, in this case, can also lead to emotional pain. I had a young lady in one of my churches, and she came to me one day, and she said, "Master Todd, I believe that God is calling me to be a missionary." She was a single lady. She's not a teenager. She was here in her young 20s. I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah." And she said, "Here's what I think. You can happen to either go to Bible college or you can be pretty green and think God's called me to be a missionary." I said, "Okay. What's your family think?" She said, "They don't support me at all." I said, "Now you're in a dilemma, what are you going to do?" She said, "Well, what do you think I should do?" I said, "I think you're going to work out." She was, "Yeah, but they said they're going to disown me. I'd be on all by myself. I said, "You're not alone by yourself, because God's there." And after several months and prayers, and it wasn't time for her to go to college, but as she did put in the application, she went through the whole process, she ended up going, she ended up spending time on it. I saw how 2 years ago, when Wendy had her very serious surgery, her sister was on the operating table right before Wendy was to be at the Wendy Block, and she told me her story, and she said, "Thank you for encouraging her to go." And I just simply said to her, "Thanks for going. It's not always easy. It's not the only story like that where people come to faith, where people step out of faith, and families do not understand what God is doing in somebody else's life." I think churches sometimes are, they're packed sometimes with people that one time in their life they have chosen a different road than what God has for them. If that's you, God's not done with you. You don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Go back. Maybe go back. Do what's right. Or do what's right that you know God wants you to do today. But I want you to understand, and this is what we have to understand when we understand this in this context. Because proof of purity and fraternity were absolutely required in Israel in that day. That was a huge thing. It was the father of the bride's one responsibility was to keep his daughter pure for her wedding day. It was a wedding in Israel at that point is not like a wedding that we have. Young couples come and say, "Hey, that's a good word of love. We want to get married." I go, "Hey, great. You know, what do you want? Well, we want to honor God with our wedding." I tried to get this on a Friday in the morning and it didn't work. So, but I said, "Do you really want that? We want a biblical wedding." And I'm like, "Great. You want a biblical wedding. That's what a biblical wedding is. You go up there and wait for him to make his way up there." Can somebody buy a speech of that? So then I said, "We really don't want a biblical wedding, do you?" "Well, can we have an American wedding?" "All right, we'll strike out this medicine with you. I think God's okay with that." But in a Jewish wedding, it was a betrothal period, and then it was a home-taking. That's what they used. It was a home-taking. And so the betrothal period was longer, not more than a year. Most of the time it was a few months. It gave the groom an opportunity to build onto his parents' house, much like the Amish do. When that house was done, he would come for his bride. Does that sound fairly similar to the next event in human history?
He's not done building our house yet, but eventually Jesus is coming for his bride who is waiting here and is to be pure and holy. And so he comes walking through town, and it's a big deal. And the bride's there, and he grabs his bride, and he whisks her off into the Mary chamber. And they consummate the marriage. And guess what the father is supposed to do? Come out and show proof of virginity. They all know she's pregnant. Can you imagine what Mary's dad goes to work on Monday morning and says, "Guys, you're never going to believe this. My daughter's pregnant." The lack of virginity in Israel that day was sentenced by stoning. You want to talk about emotional pain? Mary, what did you know? What did you understand? Mary, did it run through your mind that people would be looking and people would be talking and people would be distancing themselves? Listen, I'm not there now this next song. We sing, I love singing this song. Man, I may even start singing words that aren't even in the song when we get to it, okay? Because I love the song. Because it's accurate. Did you know that he was going to walk on water? Did you know he was going to take bread and feed 5,000 people? Did you know he was going to touch the life of a woman that was caught in the act of adultery and a woman that was in a relationship that was not right at a well? Did you know he was going to stay up all night talking to Nicodemus? Did you know he was going to have and preach the greatest sermon on the mountain you've ever heard? You know he was not going to have any place to lay his head. But perhaps the one, and we'll see this next week because we're going to talk next week of ultimate faith on Joseph. If you think she was an unexpected mother, how do you think Joseph took this? And one of the things that perhaps did not should be seen right away was perhaps the questioning of Joseph. Matthew's account of the scriptures help us understand that. Everywhere Mary went, there would have been bickering or discussion. Who knows, maybe friends of friends with smaller children would grab their children and run away because there would have been a scarlet letter saying, "Why did God call her for that? Why did God call her?" Maybe it's because he could take the people. Maybe it's because the relationship that she was going to lead and be the earthly mother to the Son of God, God needed to take her through it and let her know that it was going to be okay, it would be okay. There's some other parts of this story where they're going to Simeon and they're going to Anna. And Simeon's thing says, "No, man, it's going to pierce your soul." Did you know that, Mary? No. She's at the foot of the cross. Did you know? Mary, do you understand that? That your son that you gave birth to had died for you? The Bible doesn't give us others in this account other than her and Joseph. But I will tell you this. With the exception of the two shepherds, there was no family around. Then they had to flee for 2 years. But But when we follow God, we don't need family celebration, as it says. Did you see this last part? Because ultimate faith does this. Ultimate faith produces joy amid great difficulties and challenges. Notice verse 46. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Again, the same word. For now all the generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed right, mighty deeds with his arms, and he has scattered those who are proud of the inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers. She, in the midst of all of this, finds a way to praise God. It is so crazy to think of how God chose to bring his son into this world by what we just know. And then you remove them from their family in Luke 2. And you remove them from their nation in Matthew 2. For the sole purpose of God ministering to them and leading them, and we're going to look at this next week. The overprotective father is Joseph. Because God warns him and Joseph every step of the way. He's got plans, God changes them. But he does it for a purpose. Those are hard. It's not easy to have ultimate faith in the Lord, but I can tell you that when you realize, my friends, that the greatest joy of your life is to be faithful to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, you will have accomplished something that most people do not understand. Because the greatest thing in our lives are to be obedient to God first, and to trust him with our whole heart in all of our life, in everything the Bible says. And then there's a little promise. He will direct our life. But I'm sure this was a bride who had a dress picked out. And she was waiting for that moment. And in the middle of the engagement and the awaiting of the home taking, God interrupted her dream. And the church can be hopeful. And because of Jesus, it doesn't just make the world, but changes eternity for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think some of the greatest the service we do to Mary is to clean up and just kind of sterilize the nativity story. Not that she ever did anything wrong. She only, the only thing she did was our God. But what I mean by that is to fail to comprehend the things she had to go through in order to produce the Son of God. If you want to honor her, honor for the right things. She, like Abraham, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and like Joseph, and like Noah, go on the ultimate, in my opinion, wall of faith. Heroes of faith. Sometimes your life's going to take you to a burst in. How do you respond? Does this mean I'm not going to get my lining up my dreams? Yeah. But you're going to be the mother of the son. Does this mean that I'm going to have to postpone my life? Do what you want me to do, God? Yep, that's what I'm saying. But don't worry about it up there. Okay. You may not always know what the outcome is. But when you have all that faith that you do up there, God, may it be as you desire. Do you want living, vibrant, ultimate faith? Live like this. Two things. You must increase. I must decrease. Here's the second. Not my will, but God. That's what we want. A month later. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time to open your word and share what we see and what we believe from our Lord and Savior's gifted life. Father, I thank you that each one of us here today can respond in the same way as Noah. He arose and started building. Abraham arose and went. Joseph lived with an eternal purpose. God's leading us for good. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego proclaimed that even if our God doesn't save us, who is more than capable of, we will not bow to him. But their God saved us. Mary simply says, your will be done. And it takes us to new places in our relationship with you. It gives us new perspective of joy and praise and worship and honor and adoration. It's not fun. And as we've learned before, sometimes this world becomes a messy reality. Sometimes the situations we find ourselves in are less than ideal. But if we find ourselves in your presence in the midst of those, we find that there's God made a place that we'd want, not a death. God, help us to get out of the way of what you want to do to us. Just like Mary. Here I am. Here we are. Jesus. For Jesus' sake, please use us.